money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Yep, we always start that way. That's just the regular routine that we have. And today's show, just going to jump right into saying thank you. Thank you, and thank you again to the Brent Van Dameer and his team at Crosspoint Financial, and the way that not only do they support us here in the show, but Brent is part of our community. We again, there's questions I have, and we have discussions, or we're making some plans, and Brent's part of that discussion. So again, if you've got some questions about generating wealth or investment, or listen to the podcasts around that we've done with Brent, and then maybe reach out to the people at Crosspoint. Whew.
There you
I
go.
Got it all out.
Yeah. And you can watch past podcasts on chri.ca. You can see and not watch them. Listen to them. Or you can go watch on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Money with Dave and Reb. Mm. And last week we had a great show with Amanda Van Oppen. Mm-hmm. We were talking shame and guilt. We actually did a first time bonus feature, which is on our YouTube channel, about how repentance and confession play a part in freeing us, bringing us freedom from our shame around money.
So you can check that out on the YouTube channel, both of them, the bonus feature and, of course, the regular podcast are on YouTube as well. And yeah, feel free to like and if whatever you're doing, I don't say that too often, but certainly feel free to like and subscribe if you're listening to a podcast or if you're watching on YouTube. So
there's really great verses in Proverbs 3 that we often quote, and there's a whole section, but I am going to quote the ones we often quote. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. There's so much in this whole passage, like before and after. But that phrase of trusting God and leaning not on what you think reminds me of Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will know the good and pleasing, perfect will of the Lord in your life. And then there's another one we mentioned last week. It was take captive every thought. So we've got all these verses around.
Oh, and one more.
Oh, which one?
I'm thinking of a book that was written by a certain Rebecca Van Oppen called Cultivating Trust, Finding God's Hope and Freedom for Your Finances.
Yes.
Little plug there, but but that is, you know, we pick out these verses, but the essence of the book is accumulating all of those and bringing them into the story. So if you haven't picked up a copy, go to morethanenoughbooks.com. You can get a copy there. There's hard copy, soft copy, audio copy. You get to hear Reb.
I could put you to sleep at night if you'd like an audio book. You can go to morethanenoughbooks.com. Yep. Or you can go to Amazon too, because the book is there in soft copy. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about today?
Well, just recently, and last month, a couple of weeks ago, the Canadian government released the 2024 budget. And, you know, that in my world, as the mortgage piece, you know, for some people, that's an event that gets missed. You're like, I didn't even know there was. Do they do a budget?
And then
there's for other people that are like, okay, we're getting right down into the details. And there's, of course, people in the middle.
And our friend Bolt on Thrive 1110 has been talking in this past month about some of the things that came out in the budget. They've called it Budget 2020. 24, Fairness for Every Generation. Their plan, according to the Government of Canada release that I got on my desk earlier on, says that they want to build a Canada that works better for every generation, where younger generations can get ahead, where their hard work pays off, and where they can buy or rent their own home, where everyone has a fair chance at a good middle-class life. And I thought this is a very interesting introduction. Mm-hmm. And I read it to someone recently who is under 20. And she's like, is that a scam, Mom? Like, I just read that these paragraphs to her.
You just told them that it was our daughter, but that's okay.
No, I didn't. Said, I said someone.
Is that a scam, Mom?
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, it was our daughter. It was our 12-year-old daughter. And she was genuinely curious, like, oh, because we talk about money and scams at home a lot. Mm-hmm. So not that question was a wrong question, not that the reasons the government is creating something like this with all the good intentions it has, there's lots of good things that we receive in Canada because of government legislation around this. And this 2024 budget is, you know, we're recording it. By the time you guys hear it, it might be passed already. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, you know, they want to get this through because they're making some changes in regards to enhancing the home buyers plan, cracking down on short-term rentals. They're launching new national food security program for kids in schools. They've got a new Canada disability benefit. There's lots of things that we do benefit from because we live in Canada. And all of you listening, this is not a statement on whether it's good or bad or indifferent. We are just telling you what's been happening, but it caused my daughter some concern. Like, she's like, is this really true? And I said, well, actually, this is something the government's launching. And she's like, oh, and I said, and there's like way more details about it. But it got me thinking that the goal here is where everyone has a fair chance at a good middle-class life. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, you know, is that the goal as Christ followers that we have? Like, it's just a question I have.
Well, and to be honest, I think, you know, you and I have had this conversation and it struck us both. You know, when we talk about money and we talk about financial goals and we talk about, you know, even getting down into the line items and working a plan, you go, you know, the goal is to get somewhere, to, again, whether it's to the end of the month or I have more money at the end of the month than there is month, or whether, you know, I'm building my savings, or whether I'm paying down debt, or, you know, whatever the goal is. And here the stated goal for the government of Canada is to say, we want to have fairness. And, you know, that's just such a big word when you say how do we make fairness across the generations.
It is not an easy target.
Like
with that as the statement as the end goal, to give everyone a chance, a fair chance at a good middle class life. It's so big. I don't even know where you'd start with that. And I like, it's hard. We can criticize the government all day long, but the people in those positions who we've elected, you know, I would say I'm more inclined to pray for them because this is a tall order. This is a tall order to fill.
And the stated goal, of course, is, and that's where, you know, again, just thinking through that, you know, what is the middle class? How is that defined? Who defines that? You know, all of those things. And this does lead a little bit and smacks up against when scripture talks about, we really aren't supposed to compare ourselves. I'm thinking about the parable of the talents and, you know, one had 10, one had 5, one had 1. And Jesus didn't bring that into the parable. There isn't a competition. God gives to each as, in a sense, he deems what you can handle, and he says, okay, so these ones I'm going to give. And so the government here is saying we're defining a middle class, or we're shooting towards, and what I would say is a bit of a vague, what does that look like? But it leads itself to, well, Reb, are you middle class? Am I middle class? Am I lower class? Am I upper class? And we start, even in our, as you read through these things, we start putting ourselves into that thing. And I want to just challenge that a little bit today to say, Jesus said, you know, come together and we're all equal. And, you know, there's no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no rich, there's no poor. Even again, we know that his goal is for us to live and share so that there will be no poor. And so a lot of these things that we read the government doing, I think have some meat to it. It's the government's attempt to say, how do we kind of bring everybody up in terms of economic status?
And it's interesting because the Honorable Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, she's quoted in the news release, we're moving with a purpose to build more homes faster. We're helping make life more affordable. And we're driving the kind of economic growth that will ensure every generation of Canadians can reach their full potential. We are doing this because a fair chance to build a good middle class life has always been the promise of Canada, which is really interesting to me, which we could talk about with historians, I'm sure. Is that been the promise of Canada? But that I was thinking of more than enough's our statement, our more than enough, you know, we're a coaching company. We want to walk with people so that they are enabled to reach their potential as well. Like that's we want to help Canadians effectively manage their resources so that they actually reach their full potential, their purpose. They can reach for their God-given purpose. So it's interesting that she uses the words that we can reach our full potential. But then we go back to this thing where are we laying our trust? Where are we, what are we to do when the government promises this? And they may not fulfill every one of their benchmarks, let's say, because it's really, these are big promises they're giving. And what do we do when we feel like the government lets us down? Are we complaining and hanging our hat with the government, or are we saying what scripture tells us? And that is, we trust in the Lord with all our heart and we lean not on our own understanding, and we acknowledge him, knowing he will direct our paths. And I was thinking about another verse that I love about Isaiah. If I can find it, or Jeremiah, I think it is, where he talks about trust as well. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's another trust verse that I've always loved. But before that, it says, but if you trust in your flesh, if you trust in man, if you trust in the people whose hearts are not with the Lord, that's verse 5, you shall be like a shrub in a desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. And I mean, if you know about the salt lands where they get like in Timbuktu, there's not a lot of growth. No, it's dry, it's deserted, it's vast. You actually have to get a guide to get you across because it's that dangerous. And I'm like, oh man, you know, it's dangerous not to trust the Lord. So while we receive the privilege and blessing, let's say in quotes I use, of receiving things from the government to help us here in Canada, we still have to be very careful. Where are we putting our trust?
And I think that's, again, as we talk about this today in light of money and in light of the budget and going, you know, we know that there's got to be planning. There's got to be that practical part of, and even reading those verses, you know, we position ourselves next to that stream, you know, using the picture there from Jeremiah. You know, we position ourselves to receive from the Lord. Why aren't we, you know, hanging our hat and going, okay, all of these things, if the government does this, it will solve all of our problems here in Canada. And the reality is no, it's not going to, and we can't put that expectation on this. But we can say, okay, so, you know, A, we can pray for those that are implementing this plan and mm-hmm. putting it in place mm-hmm. and saying, you know, that they'll have wisdom to walk that out. We can also then turn around and say, so how do I interact with this? Does this change how I think or spend? Am I waiting for that next government check to come in so that, you know, or do I, in a sense, still continue to live on the budget? And when, hey, if there's more money that comes in, that gives me the ability to give more because I don't need it to live on it.
Well, as you're speaking, I'm thinking of the phrase just in my head, we have a role to play. Mm-hmm. So while the government can provide some of these programs, incentives, rebates, help, grants, all of that, we still have a role to play. So we can choose just to complain, or we can say, you know what is my role?
Yep.
And we talk about it often. One of the ways that we can have a role is to get aware, you know, face your finances, make a plan, track your spending, you know, do some of the healthy habits that we talk about all the time at More Than Enough and on this radio show. And that is a part of, you know, here's provision. How am I managing the provision I have? And that's our role to play. And you can ask yourself some questions. How am I doing that? Am I just so focused on lack? Or am I actually seeing, wow, I do have resources coming into my hands every month. And how am I setting those things up? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about planning, Dave, because I was, you know, the government has a plan and rolls it out. So they're going to, yep. you know, implement it, follow through, get these things rolling. We get, you know, GST rebates. We get child tax benefits. We've been doing
well,
that.
What's interesting, though, is they actually, like, you printed the plan out or portions of it. And so now in, you know, how do I interact with that in terms of accountability and in terms of expectation? You know, I was just saying, but even in our own finances, do we have a plan? Are we actually, in a sense, writing it down and saying, yeah, I'm committing to this, just like the government of Canada is? Again, Christina Freeland is a representative. She's the one who is the mouth, but there's people that are implementing all of this, and whether they're good things, whether
we're not here to comment on that, but it's understanding our role, your role as you listen to this podcast. What am I doing to manage some of the blessing and privilege that we do have because we're Canadian citizens or live in this country? How are we making a plan? Interesting quote I heard from a pastor this week. I'm bringing it up here because it just really struck me. He finds that when people give or tithe in his community, they're the ones that have budgets or spending plans. Yeah. And I just find that really interesting because we say, oh, well, sometimes, oh, well, I just don't have the money to give, or I can't do that, or I can't do this. But the question is, if you're saying those things, do you have a plan? Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't have a plan. Maybe it would surprise you to see what you are able to do with what you have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really encouraging. And this isn't meant to be like here's a hammer. You've got to play your role. In one sense, you know, the government of Canada has this great website. It's called the Prosper Canada Learning Hub. I took a course with them and became a facilitator for financial literacy through one of their courses. They have free stuff. They have, if you need this free stuff, call me, because they have great PDF files. You can say, what's my income? What's my goal? Where am I going? That's how do I track my space? Yeah. Such great tools. So the government of Canada is laying out the budget, but they've also got this financial literacy place that they're also saying, this is how you can do it. So they have resources so we get equipped. But guess what? The government, Christia Freeland, can't come into your personal finances and do the thing. Your pastor can't come in and do the thing. You have to do the thing. Your coach, if you have a coach, won't even do the thing for you. It is you. And you know what, Dave? There are some places in my life that have been so hard that I just wanted someone to come in and rescue me. Could you just give me $1 million? But you know what? If you got $1 million and don't have a plan, it's going to be no use to you. Honestly, you'd laugh, but you have to know what you're going to do with $1 million. It's like the question, what would you do if you had $1 million? But actually, what would you do? What would you do? And we're saying to you, you have resources in your hand. If you have a job and income, it might be hard. It might be harder than it was 2 years ago. We're not talking about that, but you do have resources. Mm-hmm. I have resources in my hand, and where are they being allocated?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to just flip back to, you know, how do we interact with this budget and the expectation? And again, make the comment, and this is a general comment, but if I look at the, you know, the countries of the world, you know, I'm going to be optimistic, if I can say it like that, that when the government of Canada puts a plan out like this, they truly do mean that they want to create fairness for all generations. You know, again, where, you know, there are other countries in the world where they're not even going to make that statement. There is corruption in the government. It's all about, you know, and so that keeps the people oppressed, and reaction, of course, to that is different than here in Canada. So, you know, again, just highlighting that we do have an economy, we have a government. I'm not saying they're efficient, all of that, but fundamentally, when they make a statement to say, our goal is to raise the economic standard of the to help people grow in their economic standard, I want to believe it, and I want to help in it. And so how do we help with that? And what does that look like for you?
And the role is to make a plan and follow through on the plan. I know that sounds really, but we have to, I think we are the government. I mean, the people. Yeah. I learned that when I was in grade 5. Like, the government is us because we elect the officials. We have concerns. We write our letters. And we have a part to play in the privacy of our own home, in our business. And
so I want to cross that over, because this is where I kind of wanted to go. So if we are the government, and the government's essentially put this out, and here's the challenge. So how are you then looking at your neighbors and your community? How is your church saying, how are we going to raise the economic standard of the people that come to our church? Let's just use that as an example. You know, are there people that need help in different ways? And again, when we look at the example of the release of this budget, it is not, we're going to give them money. But we're just changing this law, and we're changing that law, and there's actually some money help too. And so the government, again, when we discussed it, I was thinking, you know, it is, if we personalize it and say, how can we in our communities have that focus of, I want to raise the just help the economic standard of our community come up a little bit higher. How do we do that? And then I just think of the scripture that says, when we go back to Deuteronomy, God said, if you do these things, if you follow these financial principles, there will be no poor among you. If you do these things, if you follow these principles, there will be no more poor among you. A dozen times through the Old Testament. And I'm thinking, again, God, I think there's just, God wants us to come together and share. And he clearly shows us in scripture that part of that is to raise the economy of so there isn't somebody that's way up here and somebody that's way down here, but that we all are sharing and working together.
I think one of the things, I'm reading this book called The Soul of Money by Lynn Twist, and it's a fascinating read, because we come with a scarcity mentality all the time, that we don't have enough. Mm-hmm. And she's like, there is enough. Mm-hmm. And she, while not maybe a follower in Christ in her writing, she echoes what Jesus said. All you have to do is go into nature, spend time in nature, and know that there's enough around us. But it's, how are we sharing what we have? How are we accessing what we have? How are we using what we have and stewarding what we have? And I mean, these are big questions, and we are not doing this podcast to make anyone feel shame and guilty in reflection.
No, but we are doing it.
But we actually, yeah, right. to ask the questions, and sometimes that feeling of guilt we have that leads to shame, like we have to stop it. Maybe there's some things that I need to say, I'm not doing this well. My behavior here with money is not helping my community. And how Lord, do you want me to do this? And I can say that I don't always ask that. You say, make every spending decision. And I would say, make every spending, saving, investing decision a spiritual one. And I can't say I always do that. No. I go and lean on my own understanding because I want something and I want it now. And I'm no different than anybody else in that sense. So I speak of this and I'm like, okay, Lord, maybe you and I need a conversation. How can Reb do this in a different way that raises the community up to a place where there is no lack.
And I think, again, I just keep hearing those scripture resonate, you know, even in bumping up against the statement that was presented at the budget to say, you know, the goal is that, you know, for all generations, we would kind of move up. And I think, again, I'm cautious to say, does that mean we're all going to have the same, you know, income? No, that's, again, God says there's 10 talents, there's 5 talents, there's 1 talent. And he says different people can handle different responsibilities. And maybe I don't want the $1 million you talked about, because I know I couldn't handle that, but I can handle the $100 and I'm comfortable with that. Again, we're coming to the end of the show, but
it's really the responsibility that we each have as individuals, as families and community in Canada. It's not just about complaining that government is not doing what they say, but it's actually saying, am I doing what I say? It's bringing it back here.
Bringing it right back to us and saying, you know, how can even what the government does, how can I use that to impact, whether it's even just sharing information and saying, hey, are you taking advantage of some of the things that the government's implemented? Because, again, maybe people don't know.
Well, and Wayfarer's Benefit is one thing. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sharing it. Prosper Canada has a thing, Wayfarer's Benefit. I'll try and get that on the show notes. You can go in there and see if you're accessing everything that you're eligible for. It's a tool that the government provides. And it's, if you have a neighbor maybe who's struggling, a senior citizen, you know, there are things you can call 211 if they're struggling. There are services our country has, like, it is amazing that we can implement in community and use and steward those resources too. So you can pray today.
Well, Lord, we do thank you that ultimately, as we've read in your word at the beginning, and we've read in your word so many times, that it is you who gives us the ability to just trust you. You desire it. You want us to trust you. And so, Lord, we just again this morning say thank you. Thank you for your love that is really, it's the motivation of being able to trust you. And so thank you for that, Lord, and thank you for your grace as we just receive that grace as the free gift in Christ's name. Okay, so, you know, we're all over the place a little bit, but thank you for joining us. Thank you to Crosspoint Financial and their support of us. Again, we couldn't do that without you and in community with you. And thank you for listening, and join us next time when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.